Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Beth and Darren.
Good morning, everyone.
So it's a little bit, we're getting a late start again this morning.
But we're in a much better mood today, I think, than we were yesterday.
Yes.
At least so far.
Yes, we are. We are. You know, it's still, I kind of feel like from now, the run up from now through the middle of April is going to be, it's just going to be rough going no matter how you slice it. And we're just going to have to live through it. And this will be something, one of those years where we're going to be like, remember 2015? Man, that was a tough year financially.
I thought we were saying that about 2014.
Yeah. Remember 2014 and 2015?
Remember everything past 2010?
Yeah, exactly. Remember when I left my job in 2010? Yeah, it's one of those things that I know they keep saying that the unemployment rate has gone down significantly, but what they don't tell you is that people who were unemployed finally gave up looking for jobs, so they're not counting those people.
That has been a known flaw in the unemployment.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, we're down. Yeah. No, you just got more people on the streets.
The actual statistic that you want to look at is not unemployment. It's actually underemployment. Underemployment actually combines the entire pool of people that are either unemployed or people that have actually dropped out of the workforce. So it encompasses a much larger, broader got people that are underemployed in terms of people that are working part-time jobs that would really like to be working full-time. So again, it encompasses a much bigger pool of people and gives a much more accurate reflection of the economy than unemployment numbers.
Right.
I'll share that.
Well, thank you. What's the guy's name? Geithner? Is that the guy's name?
What? Geithner's no longer.
I have no idea who's there now. I don't even. I know C. Everett Koop was the FDA guy. Who is in charge financially right now?
You come out with these random names. I love it.
He's the guy who used to approve the chicken.
I don't want to talk about unemployment under my list. Let's talk about. I was thinking yesterday how we were in a funk. Okay, FUNK.
Oh yeah, and I know how you're.
And then this morning. I'm typing on the computer, and Beth is playing this video. She always does this. Like, she'll start playing something and playing it pretty loud. And video. I'm like, what are you watching? Oh, I just found this really cute video.
Well, So I just want to say this. Because of my background in entertainment, I do have my finger on the pulse of what's trending. I just have to say that. And normally, I do find videos that are incredibly engaging, and then suddenly you see the person on Ellen. Now, this particular video, I've already seen it on the Insider last night. I already saw it coming with my stream yesterday, my Facebook stream. So I know, I will guarantee, I would bet somebody $1 million this guy is still going to be on Ellen. So he's
guaranteed,
not even a question. So this guy is a teacher in Dallas, Texas, at a school in Dallas, Texas. He's a theater teacher, and they're like comparing him to the guy from, you know, the teacher from Glee. And he did this awesome video. Just
Mr.
Google,
Mr. Schuster.
Right, Mr. Shu.
I'm so embarrassed.
I didn't even know his name. I think, whatever. Anyway, so he supposedly shot it in one take, and he did it to the song Uptown Funk, and it was like this flash mob experience with like the entire school, where he would dance with he started out dancing with two girls, and then he started out dancing with a group, and then he went to another group, and it winds up at the very end where they're all together, and it was flawless, and he was awesome, and the kids were amazing, and it was just such a great, like, fun, upbeat video, and that video has already had 7.7 million views. I guarantee he's going to be on Ellen. He's going to meet Michelle Obama. He's going to be everywhere. Like, I know it.
It was a good, fun video. I mean, I have a lot of logistical questions about it, like in terms of how long it took for them to put that whole thing together. And the other thing, which, you know, I hate to rain on anybody's parade, but the fact is they have a lot of, I'm sure, right? It's all kids under the age of 18 in that video.
Yeah.
Right. You have to get signatures from parents to authorize.
Oh, them to do the video? Oh, come on now. What are they all going to? The other thing, too, is this Uptown Funk is going to charge them copyright rates because it's
right. I'm telling you, that's right.
You're opening up a can of worms.
There is
you
a
know
can
what?
of worms.
It
yes,
is.
There, yeah, I'm telling you. If this thing
Maybe,
gets,
you know, but you know what? Usually when you're filming something, you have everyone sign a waiver that says.
There's no way
gonna...
they got waivers from all those
All
things
right,
that
you're
video.
really raining. You're raining.
I'm sorry.
I
don't mean to be a downer, but these are things that you have to think about, like when you're doing stuff, anything involving kids. It's true.
Okay, this is
I
you're
listen.
Right.
I hope he doesn't. I hope it didn't.
But it could be. I don't know whether or not it's a high school. So if you're over the age of 13.
Wait, hold on. Beth just rewrote the Beth just totally rewrote all the laws behind the child labor laws. Anything.
Okay, whatever. It was a really great, awesome video.
It is an awesome video. I'll put that to the side. All the legal nonsense that you have to worry about when you're doing one of these videos or advertising or anything along that line. It is a great video. The guy was amazingly talented. I'm super impressed how well he was able to orchestrate and choreograph that, right? He did it in one take?
Yeah, that's what they say, that he did it in one take. And it was amazing. So look for him on the, you know, like I said, look for this teacher on Ellen and then every other show. And I'm sure that Michelle Obama will be, like, rocking it out with him or maybe paying a visit to the school.
One of
those things are totally happening.
There's no way that a school, like in our town, could ever pull that off.
Michelle High School could pull that off.
I
could totally not the whole
that,
school.
It wouldn't
but
be a
pace.
Flash mob. It'd just be a mob.
No, because I would think that the performing arts program could totally pull it off. I think you
maybe
especially
maybe in a particular wing.
Yeah, you know what it is too though. Like all these crazy dance troupe things are like have just gotten insane. Like people are so intense about my daughter has dance competition. They're all like vying for like spots on Dancing with the Stars or something because. I've never in my life seen all these crazy competitions where they're going to, like, Florida and all these other, like, locations dance. I mean, I used to have my little recital, and I'd have to throw on my bodysuit and do a couple of Rick Springfield moves, and I'd run off the stage because I was totally embarrassed. And
wait,
now...
What was the thing that you were in, like, when you were a little kid, like, talent show that you were in? There, like, you were three or four, was it four?
Oh, no, that was a beauty pageant.
Oh, that was?
That was
that wasn't dancing?
Speaking of child labor laws, yeah, no, that was when my parents had a home in Wild Acres, Pennsylvania. It's in Dingman Ferry. Actually, it's called Wild Acres, and it's in Dingman Ferry, Pennsylvania. One of the first years we were living there, I think I was really only two, and they entered me into the talent show, the beauty pageant, and the age to really get in was four, and they lied about my age. So I think I sang my ABCs, and I sang the theme song from Green Acres and changed it to Wild Acres. They're like, Wild Acres is the place for me at a two-year-old. I mean, I should have been a songwriter, but I missed my calling. Anyway, or a lyricist. So I wind up, at one point, it's the interview portion of the beauty pageant. And the person asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I totally froze, and I went, Daddy! And I had to, like, have my dad take me away because I was, like, totally freaked. Because you can't ask a two-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? In front of, like, 100 people, you know, I could rock the leopard print bathing suit. And I had another, like, frou-frou, like, 1970s outfit with a little kerchief that I had on. But when we came to the interview portion, the jig was up. But yet, I still came in third place. In light of the screw-up.
How many contestants were
there? There were a lot. There were, like, at least 15 to 20 girls, and I, like, sailed through and made it to third.
Those numbers on the contestants change all the
time. I never won that competition, though. I always came in second place or third place. I you know, it was always Rita Humphries. She was, like, a babe. She was on the swim team. She was, like, you know.
This is a girl you competed against?
Yeah, Rita was, like, I mean, Rita must be, I don't know, she's probably, like, 10 years older than me or more. And she was gorgeous, and she won.
Maybe we can get Rita on the show one.
Yeah, let's find out whatever happened
whatever
to Rita.
Whatever happened
Humphrey.
To Rita.
It's hilarious. Yeah, so that was my very first foray into pageantry. And then I did a couple of talent shows in elementary school, a couple of plays. And then I got singing lessons and did some of those performances. And
you tried to get me to go to singing, right?
We tried once, yeah. But my parents, you know, they wound up, they had this crazy timeshare, and they rented a place that was nearby, and I was going to go with our daughter.
Timeshare.
Yeah, that was like the gift that kept on giving. But anyway, so they wanted to go one weekend, and I was going to take my daughter, and they got up there first, and they actually said to me, don't come. you'll be depressed. You don't want to come.
Yeah, it's better just to leave it
just
in the memory.
Just leave it in the past. Just leave it behind because it's just not worth it. So we've never been back to my old house in Wild Acres.
But speaking of timeshares, do you know anybody that you've spoken to that has actually ever had a good, pleasant, fully satisfied experience having a timeshare?
I think our friends who did the Disney timeshare thing, actually that was, I think, Corey and Jerry. They had done one of those things where they did a, it was like a Disney thing, but you could actually do it at different properties. So they did that for a while. I don't know what happened to it. But I honestly think that timeshares now are a thing of the past, because between Airbnb and, you know, the other sites where you can rent someone's house for a week, who the heck wants to pay a membership when you could literally just go to some really nice location, rent someone's house for a week, and not have the obligation of paying into something that you only do once a year.
And are your folks still paying for time?
No, it's over. They finally got rid of it. It was one of my brother's, you know, usual business ventures that was not thought out.
I
so
sure
well.
Can't miss opportunities.
And I can't tell you how many can't misses we've missed. So this started, oh my God, this actually started, I would say, back in like 1990 or 1991. He had moved to California for a short time and got roped into buying a timeshare in Palm Springs, California. But it wasn't him footing the bill. It wound up, my parents inherited it as their property. And we went
no
to,
way.
Oh yeah. So we went there once, I think. We went there for like a week, and then we used it a couple times. I think we used it once in Florida by like Disney, and then I may have gone one other time. My parents used it a little bit more. They may even have used it in like Hawaii. Like they actually got a little bold. But what we found when Darren and I were getting married, my dad was like, oh, use this timeshare. You know, if you're going to go to Italy, check and see. You could totally get a great place in Italy. So I'm looking. I'm like, book. I'm like, Dad, I can get, like, a timeshare in Alaska if I'd like, but there's nothing.
In February.
In February. You know, hey, we can go to, like, you know, Nantucket in January, but you can never get it for when you'd want it. So it was one of those busts of a timeshare that finally they unloaded. And so now we don't have to worry about that. But we did do, when we went to Maine, we did VRBO, which is similar to Airbnb. And that's, you know, those sites where you rent the home of somebody who owns the house. And it was an interesting experience. I don't think I would go back to that particular home because the pictures, we got to the house and the pictures were nicer than the actual place. And then the funniest was that I guess I didn't check the time that we had to check out, and the owners showed up and they were like, oh, you're still here, and they were kind of annoyed with us. We're like, yeah. Okay.
I was walking the dog at the time.
Yeah, they're like, you're still here. So
that wasn't a friendly exchange.
It was not a friendly exchange, but then you know what happened? Because my mom is like the secret weapon. My mom is a cleaning maniac. So if you were to go to any vacation...
She'll follow you around with a broom.
Right, exactly. She will follow you around. She'll make the place cleaner than when you got there. And that's exactly what she did. So they probably came there thinking, oh, they've wrecked the place, and now we got to get it ready for, like, the next group that's coming in. Sure enough, my mom had it cleaned so well that they emailed me back and were like, oh, my God, if you would like to come again, you know, we'd be happy to have you back. You
sure,
guys were great.
Right, because they didn't have to pay for a cleaning service. They normally would for almost any.
Yeah, because Lenore had them all, you know, that was Lenore had them covered. She was, you know, forget it. Unbelievable. Which is why I personally think my parents should take advantage of either Airbnb or VRBO because they have a home in the Hamptons that's vacant for several months.
So you're saying you think your mom should go around to different places just
clean
the
house? No,
so.
I think they should be renting out their place. They can make a killing, and then we can all go on a really nice vacation. So, Mom, if you're listening, I say this year, why not rent the house out for like a month, and then we'll go on a Mediterranean cruise.
I like it.
Don't you think that would be a better idea than just sort of like, you know, we're there, and then my dad leaves earlier anyway to go to Florida. They can make up all the money that they're, you know, spending out by just renting the house out for a month.
I agree. Although I really do. For just a month, though, I want to be able to go.
Yeah, exactly. Just a month. You know.
I really do like going out.
Oh, I love going out there, too.
It's very relaxing. And in terms of where they live, I tell you, it is the least pretentious part of the Hamptons that you could possibly be in and still be in a really nice atmosphere and environment with a relaxed setting and have all the recreation we want and all the benefits of being in the Hamptons without, I hate to say it, being around a lot of the people that I think give the Hamptons a bad name. I mean, when you think about the Hamptons, there's a certain image or you know, feeling that you get when you know, all being associated with extreme wealth.
Right.
Right? When you think of the Hamptons and summer in the Hamptons. But this is far from it. I mean, parents live in a very nice community, but it's, you know, it's a very good, affordable, nice, upper middle class type of place, but it's far, far from being pretentious.
Yeah.
Which is what I love about it. Is you got the pool that you can just relax in the community, you got
the
tennis court.
They're right next to the Shinnecock Golf Course.
Yeah.
So when they do the U.S. Open there, they can even make money there. I mean, it's just, my parents are the type where they've always bought good real estate, but they've never really optimized their investment. So maybe this year they'll give it a try before they decide to finally pack it in, because they are considering selling just because my dad is tired of going back and forth.
I don't want him selling.
I know, it bums us out.
I hope he does.
Well, we better start playing the lottery a little more then, because we're not buying that house.
That'll probably increase our odds going
to
the lottery.
Yeah, you know, something, anything. Or one of those, like, why is it that Extreme Home Makeover show, like, they can't come to our house? I mean, we've made over our house, but, you know, hey, we hear you guys.
We need a makeover.
Well, we got a major crack in the ceiling.
We got a lot of cracks in parts of this house that need fixing.
Yeah, they do. Not major fixing, but, you know, we need a little bit of
a touch up here.
Exactly. And we're not doing it this year.
No. We are not doing it in the foreseeable future.
Like, reference the earlier conversation about finances and underemployment.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, we're so not doing that.
But it was an interesting thing, I think it was on CNN, about this outbreak of measles.
It's been going on, yeah. Pretty
and
bad.
There's a big controversy. I guess a couple of kids now are in quarantine, and there's outrage. I guess it was a mother and father or just whatever who took their child
to Disneyland,
and took it to the doctor that was unvaccinated. And will spark the whole controversy up about vaccinating your children.
Mm-hmm.
And the outrage some people feel towards others that don't get their children vaccinated. It's one of those hot topics that always seems to come up from time to time again.
It's very frustrating, because we vaccinated our kids against everything. And the interesting thing is that there are certain vaccinations that are no longer used. So there are certain things, and then, of course, I can't recall, but I remember there are a few things that they gave our kids that are no longer.
The rotavirus?
Yes, the rotavirus or something. Yeah, so there were definitely things where, you know, I would say if you need to vaccinate, you know, you should vaccinate your child, because there are illnesses that we don't need coming back and
ever.
And things like measles and mumps and rubella are the triple threat that you need to just take care of, and it's been around forever. Why not? Well, don't fight the system. If your pediatrician says to you, I'm recommending you try this brand new virus, like this brand new vaccine, and you have reservations about it, you don't do it. I mean, the same thing with the HPV for girls. Like they had recommended that our daughter do it, and I think I took one thing of it, and then I heard afterwards that there were conflicting reports about it, and so she hasn't had any more. But I do think that these newer things, totally get it if you have reservations about it, but there's the correlation that they have between autism and all these things, and the autism community, actually my friend is the founder of Autism Science Foundation, there really isn't a correlation, so they haven't been able to prove anything.
Right, now your friend is the head of the Autism
Science Foundation, yes.
She is not anti-vaccination, correct?
No, she is pro-vaccination.
Right. I'm saying, so this connection that people want to make between vaccinations and autism, right,
it's a bit of a stretch, but
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't know what the connection is, and I'm sure that there's probably people outraged by me even suggesting that there isn't, and there's probably people outraged that say that there is. But, you know, vaccination, as much as people want to say, is a personal choice, and what you do for your children is what you decide to do. Really, that's not true. It's one of those things where, in terms of personal choices that people make, I'm fine with anything that a person decides that he or she wants to do for their own child. That is a personal choice, as long as it doesn't have any bearing or impact on others. I'm sorry, but in terms of not getting your child vaccinated and putting your other children out there at risk, that's a That to me is a real issue or a problem.
Yeah, it's you can do what you want, but
right.
then when you're
you
putting your child
you
in a school setting or
you
want
to homeschool, you
want
to homeschool your own kids.
Yeah,
you know what? Not something that I really agree with, but who am I to argue and say that homeschooling is wrong? If somebody feels that homeschooling is right for their child, so be it. Go ahead. That's a whole.
It's just that unfortunately kids are just so susceptible to germs, and every time you turn around, I mean, our son has a cold right now, and we sent him to school, and hopefully he's not going to infect the whole school.
No,
you know, but it's just a cold, but still, it's something, you know,
right.
And you got to be, you have to be mindful. I mean, he's not hacking up a lung, so it's
right.
not terrible, but at the same time, you know, if you're not careful, everybody else gets sick, and that's something that is, and that's a minor kind of thing.
Well, we have become a society just of germ freaks, right? I mean,
yeah.
We really have. I guess hand sanitizers everywhere. It's one thing if you're in a hospital or in a medical office, but everywhere you go, people have hand sanitizers, and it's really you need to be exposed to germs
yeah.
to give your body a chance to fight them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But there are certain things, you know, I
it's okay if your kid eats dirt once in a while.
Well, no, but when I finally was realizing like what you catch a cold from, and it what it normally is you touch a doorknob and you touch your eye. It's anything that like where your hands touch your eyes, you're finished, especially during the winter. So I think about that, and or if I'm on the subway and if I don't have my gloves on and I'm touching that pole, you know, you do want to sanitize after you've like touched the subway pole because there's a million germs on that too.
But yeah, hold on a second. In the 1970s, do you remember going on subways and sanitizing afterwards?
No, I mean I didn't go on subways in
1980s.
Are you out of your mind?
1980s.
Yeah,
whatever.
All right.
Did
well,
you go on the
we
subway?
Didn't even go on a subway in the '80s. Maybe when I was living in the city, I went on the subway.
I think somebody out there just decided, oh, we got to start protecting ourselves against germs. I think with the
well,
I think these sanitizers are the worst things to happen. I really do.
Okay, I mean I do, but I do believe that the whole doorknob touch your eye thing is absolutely true, because there have been times where I literally did it, and like 2 days later, I got sick. I'm like, oh, the doorknob.
That doorknob
the eye.
That I touched.
I did it. Oh, man. But I have to say, going back to my Juice Plus thing, not that they're sponsoring this podcast, but I have been taking it since it arrived. They have the gummies, they have the supplements, and then they have this shake, which I'm probably going to take with me to work today. And I'm feeling good. I mean, and I gave it to our friend this morning.
Good.
Thank you. I gave it to our son this morning. I said, you know what? I know you're not feeling well. Take all of this.
Stuff this down. Stuff this down.
This is gummy, but it was, but it's like 7 different fruits and vegetables and all kinds of stuff that he wouldn't necessarily put in his body all day long. And I'm going to see how it works. So I'm going to, you know, and I'm feeling good and knock wood. Like, I hope I don't get sick, but I've been taking this
stuff.
Well, I have been, luckily, I've been dodging the cold budget. I mean, the cold bullet. Budget, the cold bullet.
You know, the word budget doesn't leave our
I'm
doesn't leave our head.
All of that money.
Okay.
Oh, all
right. Forget about the budget. Go
yeah.
back again.
So I've been dodging the cold bullet all year. And part of it is, even though I have, you know, I have an office, there's only a limited amount of us in the office. So it's not like we're coming in contact with a lot of people.
No, not with the people in your office. Not,
right.
And I'm saying, like, you come in limited contact with the other people outside of your.
Oh, they don't talk to each other.
To you.
Yeah, you don't
so
even
no
go
contact.
So there's no contact. But when I used to work in the city, though, where it was an office of 15, 20 people and the windows were always closed, we were in a situation where people got sick all the time and germs were being passed around a lot. And luckily, I haven't had that happen because I'm kind of secluded from it. And I find, even before I had the office and I was working from home, that I wasn't sick as much. So the goal is stay away from people. Or the minute you see someone who is, you know, coughing and not really protecting the outside, you know, others or strangers from their germs, you need to kind of, you know, walk away, stay away from them.
Right. And the other thing on the whole topic of germs and sanitizers and things that, again, I don't understand is peanut allergies. Another thing that I think all stems and it's all interrelated, how it seems today, right, we talk about peanut allergies and how pervasive they are. What happened when we were growing up? I never heard of these. Never heard of
Well, I just had my salad right out.
Never, right.
We should
never,
talk
we
to,
did not
well, we
well,
should
I
talk
want
to
to
Toby
know why,
Amador,
yeah, I,
my
we
good
should,
friend
'cause I
Toby.
really
We'll
want to
call him one
understand, like, why we didn't have this as a problem back when we were going to elementary.
Well, I think the reason why it wasn't...
Or did kids just, or was it just unexplained?
It might have been, you know, it could have been
attacks or
unexplained
deaths
out.
of kids
Yeah.
that you didn't know about, and it turned out that it was peanut related. I don't know, maybe that's...
Listen, I don't know whether or not it's the diets that we've had over the years, and when you get pregnant, whatever it is, that something in the
But
environment
something
has
has
made
changed.
something change. It really has. But I, you know, we should definitely talk to my friend Toby, who is an author and a leading nutritionist, and is actually writing a book about peanuts with recipes and everything. So she's
Oh, right.
like
Really?
so perfect. Yeah, she's on like the peanut
Get
board.
the EpiPens out.
Well, but she, you know, talks about how certain people who don't have, you know, who might have an allergy to peanuts, but not a, you know, a life-threatening allergy, that there are ways to like start, you know, slowly reintroducing it into your system. Just like when, like our daughter, when she was little, had a kiwi, was allergic to kiwi. And then as she got a little bit older, she grew out of it. So I think a lot of parents are so deathly afraid of a lot of those things that they never even introduce it back into their kid's diet. And then, you know, what are you looking at?
No, go ahead.
No, they don't introduce it back into their kid's diet. So the less that you have it, or you don't have it at all, you're never going to be able to tolerate it.
I mean, but it is frightening for you to
oh, of course.
Tell somebody to start introducing this a little bit. Let's just see how it goes.
Well, I mean, what they do is you take them to the allergist, and they give them, and they prick them with a million things to see what you're allergic to. And they don't do it where it's like, okay, now you're going to go into shock. They don't say, hey, here's a peanut butter sandwich. You know, that's not the thing. I mean, we have a very good friend whose daughter has, you know, a severe peanut allergy, to the point where she was playing basketball and somebody must have had some sort of like chocolate bar that had peanuts in it, and she
just,
wound up in the hospital.
Right,
she touched,
touched
the ball, and it was like she gets sick even from the airborne stuff, which is so
let me
you
tell
can't
you,
dismiss it.
That kid, or friend, I'm not gonna say who, that is one that
she's
girl
awesome.
Is one of the toughest kids
yeah.
I've ever met.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna say her name, but our friend, we could say our friend's name, right? We could say Andrew.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we could say our friends Andrew and Andrea.
Yeah.
Have a child who is phenomenal. I always say that she is one of the toughest kids I've ever met. Like, just I've seen things happen where I know myself that I'd be in tears.
Mm-hmm.
Not a tear. Not a
yeah,
tear.
She plays hard.
She
plays hard. So, and that's great. And I think that, and that's amazing considering, you know, she does have a severe allergy, but yet her parents still want her involved in the things that she loves to do. And they managed to find a way to make that happen and not shelter her to
right.
the point where she can't do
right.
anything.
It does not affect her
right.
like
that. Well, and
at
as
all.
You get older, it becomes easier because certainly it's like, you know, what you need to stay away from. So the more that, you know, now she's a teenager, so it's a different situation than when she was a little one. And that's super scary because that's when you first find out what the issue is. But this is someone who's grown up with it all her life. I mean, my other friend, not on the allergy side of it, but my friend Jeannie, her daughter has another severe, it's not an allergy, but it's almost like a form of diabetes where she has to have some
something
sort of like, yeah, it's we have to bring her on, but it's like some,
I
crazy,
never even heard of it.
Where she, but I think she finally figured it, she has to have like this like yeast mixture every hour and a half.
Like
so
fruit
she,
toast, right?
Yeah, so she had to wake up like every hour and a half, and when she even went away to college, she was having to do this by herself, so she was certainly nervous about sending her away to school and then having to do this whole regimen. But I think about a year ago, she had said that they finally came up with a mixture that where they can sustain them for more than like 4 hours or 5 hours, so they can eat. Because think about
that's,
being
that's,
up
well,
every
that's
hour
the thing.
And a half.
When you mentioned this to me for the first time, I had never even heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like very,
it's very
not skeptical,
small.
But I kept asking myself, so wait, you mean to tell me? Literally, they need to take this every hour and a half. I can't sleep through the night. Wake up,
you have to wake
have,
up to take it.
You literally have to wake up every hour and a half, or hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, and have the fruit toast concoction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that is a very difficult way to live
it's
for everybody.
Debilitating.
For
your sleep is you know interrupted every single night, and it's frightening. And they've had some scary situations with it, but The wonderful thing is Jeannie actually does a fundraiser every year, and they've
Which is really cool. It's an awesome fundraiser.
Yeah, she's amazing. And they've done a lot of, they've raised a lot of money and more. And the other thing that's really great is that even though it's something that's very rare, she's been connected with lots of families who are going through it. So they have this wonderful support system that they've from scratch, and Jeannie is sort of at the forefront of something like this. So
that's good. She's the right person.
Yeah, she's great. She's the features editor at the New Rochelle Daily Voice now. So, or not New Rochelle. I think it's just the Daily
Voice.
Yeah.
There's different towns that have Daily Voice.
But
so
she's like the overseas, like the whole features part of it,
So Zach actually.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he reports to her, but Zach,
one of the
there's a writer there we like.
We're friendly with him. Great. Who had some very nice coverage for Aging Sports that I really appreciate. So I figured I'd mention his name.
Yeah. So that's we had an interesting conversation today.
We sort of weave from Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk to peanut allergies.
Right. And finances.
Although we were a little less today, which is good. I think going forward, we probably want to spend the next few podcasts not talking about money all the time. We got to try to
make frustrations part of our podcast as
right.
much as I'd like.
Exactly. We're not in the poorhouse yet.
Right. We're not in the poorhouse. We're in the fun house.
Right.
Anyway,
exactly.
With that, thanks for stopping by.
Stay classy.
Thank you.